This week on the show, the Patriots' free fall continues, the Celtics find themselves on uncertain ground, and it may not be March, but we're looking at some brackets. All that and more coming up, Calling It starts right now. Welcome to the show. This is the Calling It podcast, powered by Steelers Media. December 22nd, about noon. I'm Alex Barth. He's Alex Lebowitz. Mr. Lebowitz, hello.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
No complaints. You know, I got a nice long weekend due to Christmas, and yep. It's even better because there's no, although we do have family obligations because this is when people get time off work, but you know, Christmas Day, it's for Jews. I argue it's even better than Christmas for Christians.
You're in Chinese
go to the movies, go get Chinese food. It's isolation. So for me, that is, you know, that's the most ideal thing ever.
So I'm actually doing this is the first year I'm doing it. My parents have gone in the past. One of our family friends has like a big Christmas dinner who does celebrate Christmas, but they invite everybody. So I'm actually doing like a real Christmas dinner this year for like the first time. In a while, if ever. I may have done it with family friends when I was younger.
Yeah, growing up, I would celebrate Christmas with friends. It's a great holiday, but there's...
Do you ever get like a little something from Santa or anything
No, definitely not.
My parents were, I figured out that Santa wasn't real. Spoiler alert.
Wait, did your parents act like Santa?
They like wanted me to believe Santa was real, but they like would never get me anything. I think one year I got a Matchbox car. They're like, why don't you believe Santa's real? Santa's real. But then I was like, well, why doesn't he bring me presents? And then they're like, because you're Jewish. And I was like, all right, well, I don't care if he's real or not then.
Yeah. Okay. So Santa's an anti-Semite. All right.
I wouldn't go that far. It's not his
applause.
It's not his job to bring toys to all the Jewish boys and girls. That's the Hanukkah zombie.
We had Hanukkah Joe, which was like attempted, but we were like, no, what is this?
I don't know if you're a Futurama fan, but they have the Hanukkah zombie, who's one of the best.
The Hanukkah zombie. I like that way better. No, but my family never gave me the delusion that Santa was real. That said, I wasn't the Jewish kid who went to school the next day and was like, you know, Santa's not real.
No, I didn't do that either. I got a letter from Santa one time. It's like one of my grandparents' friends, but that was it. So
was your grandparents' friend a non-Jew?
Yes.
You see, I would be upset if someone did that for my
grandchild. No, my parents like asked her to do it.
Okay. You see, that's I don't like that. I'm sorry.
I don't know. My parents just really wanted me to think Santa was real. I don't know why.
I don't like that at all. I'm sorry. Not to disparage your parents, but like we're Jewish. We don't do Santa Claus. It's just not a thing. We barely did the Tooth Fairy. We're idealistic people. We just
I'm trying to remember if I had the Tooth Fairy or not.
We had the Tooth Fairy.
I think I did.
I had the Tooth Fairy. I knew it wasn't real. Like I told my mom it's not real because I put it under my pillow. I didn't tell her I lost a tooth. Guess what? I wake up. There's nothing under my pillow. I'm like, what the hell?
You know what? I did that too.
Yeah,
I did that too. I also got teeth. I found out because I got teeth pulled, and I think there was something with that. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, you got no money. It's like
right,
wait,
exactly.
We had to pay for this. We're losing money here, Mom.
We're 3 minutes into this, and it's going nowhere. So we can either just restart or push forward with the Patriots.
Let's keep going.
Let's push forward. All right.
Even with the Adolf Claus line.
Yeah,
I'm sorry about that.
Wow. This is why we don't let Lebowitz get political. All right. So the Patriots have had a tough couple of weeks. Obviously, the loss in Miami. Then they go and they lose to Pittsburgh in a game where they just did not look potent offensively at all. It was a mess. And now they lose Josh Gordon. So before we kind of get into these last 2 weeks, and they haven't clinched anything. They are not a lock for the playoffs yet. This team certainly is starting to give me a 2011 Red Sox vibe. But before we go down that road, just Lebowitz, a quick thought on Josh Gordon.
It's really unfortunate. I mean, the guy, like my first thought is this it for him? Like, what's the next step in his career? How many chances will he get? And how should the NFL, you know, handle something like this? I think it's a sensitive topic. If it is indeed marijuana that he tested positive for, I think we have to have a serious conversation, not only on substance abuse necessarily, but on the policy of testing marijuana in the NFL. There's various former players and current players who are advocating that it is used as a replacement for painkillers if you choose to do so. And I think that's a legitimate conversation that needs to be had. With Gordon, it seems like it's a mental thing, though. He obviously has a dependency on it. He can't stop doing it, and he's willing to risk millions of dollars just to get high. That's unfortunate, and I think it should be handled, you know, with sensitivity and not demonized. And I think overall the vibe around the league is that's kind of how it is being handled among players, among media members. We just have to see what's next, how the NFL chooses to deal with this. More importantly, because the stuff with the Patriots, when you're dealing with a guy's career, it's irrelevant.
Right. And, you know, is this it for him in the NFL? Probably. He maybe could catch on in the secondary. I actually took some heat for that on Twitter. I brought up, not right when it happened, but it was like later in the day around dinner time on, was it Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday we found out? Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
You know, his NFL career is probably over. Could he end up, if and when he's ready, again, if and when he is ready, he has a lot to figure out first, but if and when he is ready, could he end up in the AAF or the XFL? I hope that the football world doesn't abandon him because, and I know everybody's issues are different and I understand that, but we've seen with guys like Johnny Manziel right up in Canada that having football be a part of his life and just be a routine and be something that consumes his time can help with his addiction. Manziel has said that. Now, I don't know that Gordon could get to the CFL because they honor NFL suspensions more often than not. But one of these other secondary leagues, if maybe, you know, football with a little less stakes, with a little less pressure, there's a lot of pressure playing in New England, having your locker next to Tom Brady. If he can go and play football and have that in his life, but maybe not have the pressure, and if that helps him, I just hope the football world doesn't abandon him if he decides, if and when he decides that this is something he wants in his life. So it's obviously unfortunate. I think it's more than just he can't stop smoking pot. He has a very bad alcohol problem too, and I think that ties into it. I don't think he's just sitting around like, I want to get high. I think it's a number of things. I know there's a report going around. I don't want to spread false rumors. I don't know how true this is, but there's a report that he was seen drinking a couple of weeks ago in a bar. And it's possible that he kind of lost control of himself at that point, and that's where the marijuana use came in. So
let me ask you one thing, because you're around the team. Was there a feeling that he had been withdrawn the past couple weeks? Because I heard
there was no. It was the opposite. I mean, he came in, and he was everybody's – they all loved him. He was everybody's best friend. He was, you know, a part of the locker room. He was a central part of that team. This was completely shocking. I know a couple of reporters said they knew for a few weeks. I was – completely floored. Like, I wasn't completely surprised by it because I think we all knew there was a good chance this was going to happen, but there was no indication that it was imminent. There was no, you know, oh, like, we hear rumbles about him getting tested. Oh, you know, he's been going to like extra meetings with the team or this or that. There was no, and the whole thing about, you know, him coming out for the last play against Pittsburgh, that was BS. Like, that's not. And they didn't want him to be the hero because they knew he was being suspended. They want to win the game. They don't care. And the organization still cares a lot about him. You see, Tom Brady, even though he wouldn't speak about it at his press conference yesterday, posting a story on Instagram last night, Julian Edelman's Twitter and Instagram AVIs are now Josh Gordon's. It's the back of the jersey, like everybody did for Brady during the Flategate. Patriots players are now doing that for Josh Gordon. Belichick refused to say whether or not the team's still going to help him, but I believe they are. No, this is a guy who the team genuinely cared about. He genuinely cared about being a part of this team. There was no indication that this was going to happen down there, at least not for me.
And it's just really unfortunate. And again, the conversation, if he's smoking pot every day, every night, he gets back, he's in pain, instead of popping Percocet, he's smoking pot or vaping or doing whatever it is, that's a way better way to cope with your injuries physically than taking painkillers. So
I mean, it's even better than the K2 stuff, the fake pot.
Oh, way better.
Is governed differently by the league, and Josh Gordon wasn't shirtless outside of the Foxborough Police Department thinking he was on fire.
I know people who have almost died from smoking that stuff. It's obviously antiquated. Another question you have to ask is, which league is going to be the first league that takes a stand on marijuana in regard to you know, stop demonizing it?
It's going to be one of these secondary football leagues, because it's just going to open up so many opportunities for them with guys like Martavis Bryant, guys like Josh Gordon. And that's the biggest problem for the NFL. You have a substance here that now is legal in what, almost double digit states, I think, at least.
At least, yeah. And decriminalized, for sure.
Right. And it's just becoming more and more accepted. and you have guys with immense talent that you're forcing out of the league because they're smoking pot, and you're taking away. I mean, it's guys who add entertainment value to your product, and the NFL is actively taking them away. It's one thing, you know, if a guy's using harder drugs and you don't want that image, that's fine. But with marijuana, they really need to stop removing guys from the league for that. Maybe, you know, you don't want to upset, you know, your 50 plus demographic who still sees marijuana as a problem, and you give them a slap on the wrist fine, like a $10,000 fine. Is that right? No, but there is a PR element to this as well. But they need to stop kicking guys out of the league for this. It's just not worth it. It hurts everybody. It hurts the individuals, and it hurts the league.
No, I completely agree. But again, the reality is these people are choosing to smoke marijuana, and if it comes between you making millions of dollars, stop doing it. Just stop doing it. That's not to excuse the policy that needs to be changed, but it's not worth doing if you have a career that's dependent on you staying clean. And that's the main point. And that's why so many people are looking at this Josh Gordon situation and saying, this isn't a guy who just likes to get high. This is a guy who's trying to cope, who has problems. And that should take precedent over anything football related. We'll just see how the NFL handles it. I think they have an opportunity to try to kind of set the tone and change the conversation in regard to players smoking pot or ingesting pot or whatever.
All right, really quick here, because we're like well over. I wanted to do 5 minutes on Gordon. We're at 11 minutes, I think, partially in part to that Santa open. Patriots as a whole, for me, this is starting to feel like the 2011 Red Sox. It really is. They're running out of gas, and they're not playing with urgency. The offense has been – if you hold Pittsburgh to 17 points, you should win that game. You should win that game more often than not, and I'm not necessarily nervous about them losing to the Bills. I think they'll win that game. I think we'll be closer than it needs to be, but I do think they will win that game. But if they lose, I legitimately am worried about a playoff spot, because three losses in a row – to go, I don't know how they get up for week. If they couldn't get up for the Pittsburgh game, and if they can't get up for Buffalo at home, they're not getting up for the Jets in week 17. And then you're looking at what would be, you know, what would rival the 2011 Red Sox as one of the worst collapses, regular season collapses in like the last decade. So I'm legitimately worried. We were talking about this off the air a little bit, but Tom Brady needs to fake. If he's playing with a torn MCL, like, that sucks. But he's got to take over. He's been a quiet leader in his older age. He kind of lets the Matthew Slaters and the Julian Edelmans speak and kind of make the impassioned speeches. The Dante Hightower, right, we remember from the Super Bowl, you know, no more room for error, no more it's all good, we got to focus. Brady needs to start throwing bitch fits. He does. I know people don't like it when he does that, and he gets criticized a lot for it. We need one of those where he just lights into the offense, lights into Josh McDaniels, lights into whoever's near him. Because I think at that point, nobody else has gotten this team going. So I think at this point, he's the guy that's got to get this team going.
I think that it's important to note that just because you haven't seen it on camera during the games doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
And that's true. That's true.
And I think that's probably the case. There's no way a competitor like Tom Brady has just been silent during this whole thing. I think, if anything, he's been getting on his guys. What we saw against the Steelers, though, it was that offensive line that looked outmatched. They were getting beat, so they were committing a lot of penalties. And he also had the officiating, which was lackluster. They weren't giving the Patriots many
calls. All that considered, you should have more than 10 points against what is a bad Pittsburgh defense. And I know the offensive line doesn't help, but – and I mean, I'm gonna sing my favorite song right now. Josh McDaniels needed to make adjustments. They went in with one game. It was just like the Tennessee game. They went in with one game plan. It wasn't working. They never changed anything. They stuck with it. Their whole plan was to beat them up in the middle of the field. The Steelers covered the middle of the field for the first time in forever. They refused to throw to Josh Gordon on the outside. They refused to check the ball down to James White. And they lost the game because of it, because what they wanted wasn't there. And they didn't adjust. And when you don't make adjustments, you lose football games. That's why coaching matters more in the NFL than any other league. Because in football, in basketball, right, if you're a good team, you have a LeBron James-esque superstar. There are ways that guy just can't be defended. No matter how good you players are, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, whatever, there are ways to take those guys away in football. There always will be. You have to adjust to it and figure out what's working. Because there's just like you can always take somebody away, you can triple team Rob Gronkowski. You'll take him away. But that means somebody else is going to be open. Josh McDaniels needs to figure out what the Steelers are doing, what the opponent's doing, to make that adjustment and make the offense work, and he just hasn't done it this year. And one more bone with Josh McDaniels while I'm on this before you make your point, we wrap this up. The pass back to Tom Brady in Tennessee. I know I went on the rant about it that week. I think I've done it one other time too. But the report about the torn MCL that probably happened on that play, again, that game was over. They lost that game. It was a meaningless fourth down. And Josh McDaniels puts Tom Brady in harm's way. The hell are we doing? You want to put blame on why the Patriots suck this season, suck relative to how they've done in the past? You want to put blame on why the Patriots suck this season? Go back to that play call by Josh McDaniels. Because if that actually messed Tom Brady's knee up, it would make a lot of sense, and it all goes back to that moment. Have fun in Green Bay, Josh. Have fun ruining Aaron Rodgers. Get him the hell out of New England. If that's the reason the Patriots season is what it is, he should have stayed in Indy. Get him the hell out of here.
So I don't even know if Josh McDaniels is getting that offer. I think he burned his bridges last year, and I think this season, you just said it, he has been the most disappointing member of this organization. The play calling has been atrocious. The lack of evolving your game plan or trying to adjust has been inexcusable. He has just kind of proven that he's been a very overrated football mind, in my opinion. He's already been out there as a head coach with the Broncos. Did not work. He came back. He went to the Rams beforehand, came back to New England. And he's just gotten by because he is the best quarterback of all time on his team with the best tight end of all time. Why isn't James White getting more involved in this offense? Why wasn't Josh Gordon targeted more? Why were there no adjustments at all during that game? It was horrible. And this does not fall on Tom Brady. He got a lot of flack after that game. I thought he played pretty well. All things considered, he was moving around the pocket. He was evading the pass rush. He was making the throws he needed to make. They were just guys who weren't open, and he was pressured a lot during that game, even though three drops, that one to Edelman, right over the middle, perfect throw. He's not the issue. So for people who are blaming Tom Brady, it is way beyond that. It goes back to Josh McDaniels, the offensive line that was getting beat all day long. And another thing that's important to note, because you got to give the Steelers some credit, they had their backs against the wall. You're at home, and your future, your playoff destiny, that is dependent on how you play on Sunday. And they came out, and their defense shut down the Patriots. You got to give them credit for that. And a lot of the reason they lost is because of how well that Pittsburgh Steelers team played and, you know, how concrete that game plan was for them.
All right. So this is at 18 minutes here. So we're going to wrap this up real quick. Short Celtic segment on the other side. This call it powered by CLNS.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
All right, welcome back to Calling It, powered by CLNS. Alex Barth and Alex Lebowitz with you. We're going to rapid fire the Celtics segment because we went way over on Patriots, but we have to talk about the Celtics because they went on an 8-game win streak, which is all well and good until you realize it was against teams under 500. All 8 teams, by the way, under 500. And then they lost to, who are we talking about here? The Suns?
The Suns.
Who are awful.
The Bucks last night.
The Bucks. I mean, the Bucks are a good team, but they should beat the Bucks at home. They shouldn't lose like that. We had a 46-17 run. Wipe your ass with a 46-17 run. It's embarrassing. Gershon Yabusele's out there, looking like Cisco ate Antoine Walker. And meanwhile, the hospital Celtics blow everybody out. It's when they're actually healthy that they can't play. I'm going to say the same thing I've said the last 3 weeks. You got to get Jaylen Brown off the team. We can get into what he did last night, and you got to get Terry Rozier off the team. Those two guys are just black. They're good players, but they're just not fitting in the system the Celtics are trying to run right now.
They're great players. I think Jaylen Brown.
I don't know if Jaylen Brown or Terry Rozier are great.
Not great players. They're good pieces on a good team.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. I misspoke there.
Okay. Posey. They're James Posey and Eddie House. Good players. Love them. But the fact that, not skill set wise, but I'm saying
higher ceiling.
You need those guys to win. But because of the way Brad coaches, you also need guys that fit the system, and those guys just don't fit the system the way they're playing right now.
I don't think they're trading.
Try to change their game, but that's tough.
Isn't the theory around the league that they're going to wait until the offseason and try to package those two to trade for an Anthony Davis type?
Yeah.
Which I think is, it's possible.
I just don't know that's enough. I still think they're going to have to give up Kyrie or Tatum. I'm not touching Tatum. Kyrie, maybe.
Kyrie, maybe. But I think you could pull it off. If it comes down to the Pelicans wanting to get a couple good pieces and some picks, I think the Celtics probably had the best arsenal to give them.
Well,
what
remember, the Lakers now have this. The Lakers now are apparently in on this, and they can offer Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, and picks. So you have to top that. That's a good offer.
I think the Celtics could possibly top that while keeping Jason Tatum and Kyrie Irving. I go back to Jaylen Brown early in the season in an interview with Taylor Rooks saying, I see myself having 5 championships by the age of 28.
Nope.
And again, I might have made this point in the podcast before. Forgive me if I have. But remember when the Miami Heat, back when LeBron signed on, yep, and Chris Bosh
not
went over?
Not 1, not 2, not 3, yep.
And everyone in Boston was crapping on them because it was the polar opposite of the press conference with Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett. I think Paul Pierce was in attendance. And
yeah, he was there.
And so that was bad when LeBron did it. But Jaylen Brown saying that and being overly confident like he was.
Jaylen Brown, who is not LeBron James.
Not LeBron James. Hasn't really proven anything in this league. Neither have the Celtics since they've had this new core. Saying what he said, I get being honest. I get that. You want to have that. But by God, you got to crawl before you can walk. And this team has just taken a shift with their mentality from last season to this season, going from the underdogs, the team that's scrappy, that fights hard, that might be, you know, not as talented as the rest of them, but they got young talent and they got energy. They went from that to overly confident. Everyone thinks they're the Eastern Conference favorites, and they're playing like there are some personality issues in that locker room. And last night, yeah, they didn't open. I don't know if you were at that game, but they didn't open the locker room doors for about a half hour. They had
a team meeting. I wasn't there, but I heard about that.
So obviously, there's something going on in that locker room. What it is, I'm not sure. But it's clear that something needs to change, and I think that change is probably trading somebody. And it stinks because if you are going to go after Anthony Davis this offseason, you're going to have to get rid of some of the pieces that you would use to trade for AD. So this kind of throws a wrench in their plans simply because they got some attitude problems, it seems like.
Well, it limits what you can do. Obviously, yeah, it limits what you can do now if you're still planning on getting Davis. But I think you hit it on the head with there's suddenly that cocky young upstart team that we love to hate in Boston, right? They're the Houston Astros, but they haven't won anything. Imagine Bregman without a ring. That's essentially kind of what they're like right now. And I'm sorry, Jaylen Brown flexing when you're down 15. I get that people say, oh, he's trying to get them jump started. Let Kyrie do that. Kyrie's the only guy on that team that can do that. And they need
defense with Putrid.
They need. Yeah, I did not think Jaylen Brown was good last night. 2 for 9, 2 for 7, 2 for 9 from the stripe, please. They need a veteran presence. And Kyrie was right. They need a NBA seasoned veteran, been there, done that, won titles, that can be an asshole in the locker room and tell everybody the way it is. And you'd hope that would be Kyrie Irving because he's won a title. He's been there. But I don't think Kyrie wants to be the bad guy. Brad Stevens, this is the oldest team he's ever coached because he went from coaching college to coaching a bunch of first-year players. He's not a motivator. He's a strategist. He's a tactician. He's not somebody who's going to get up in a player's face and challenge them when they're not playing well. They need somebody who's going to come in and just bully everybody, basically, and turn them into the best players. And you know who that person is? Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins will get in that locker room, get in these young kids' faces, and tell them what it's like. You want to win a title in Boston? This is what you have to do. You have to do this, and this is the result. You want to do it because this is the end game. He knows what it takes to win a title here. He knows what happens when you win a title here, and he can be the bad guy in that locker room. They need to get – they're not going to get Kevin Garnett. I've accepted that. And it would be as a coach. It wouldn't be as a player, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
They need to get Kendrick Perkins in here because he can be that guy. The one other name I will throw out, and I don't think it's realistic they can get him, but Rajon Rondo. And I know there's a history. I know there's a history. I know he's not the best teammate, but Rondo's going to get this team where they need to be. Rajon Rondo in that locker room. I don't think anything's going to hurt that locker room at this point because I agree with you. I think there's some underlying issues we don't know about. Rajon Rondo, again, knows what it takes to win here. He wants to be looked up to as the veteran, as the guy that knows everything, right? That was the whole problem here. Why he left, because he wasn't the veteran. Ray Allen and Paul Pierce were, and he didn't get to be the guy. He could be that savvy veteran if he came here. Now, I don't know that you can get him from the Lakers. I don't think that's realistic at all. But again, that mindset, and that leaves you with Kendrick Perkins. And I think they obviously they have a tough situation with Jabari Bird still being on the roster, and the league needs to figure that out. But once they get that roster spot back, or if they can somehow get another roster spot, I think they need to look at Kendrick Perkins.
They definitely need to change something up. I mean, that's evident because this is an attitude issue. One other thing that I worry about is you talk about Brad Stevens being a strategist, not being a motivator. It's these types of stretches, these types of losing streaks that can cause a coach to kind of lose the locker room, especially right. if they can't get their team out of that funk. And we don't know if he can. It's a much different animal when you're trying to motivate a bunch of, you know, 20-something year olds opposed to a bunch of teenagers at Butler. So this is probably the biggest test of Brad Stevens' career. He obviously is respected from a basketball mind standpoint, but is he respected from that leadership standpoint? Can he get his team out of a funk? We don't know yet. And I think when you have a team with as many personalities as the Celtics do, it's even more difficult. So these next few weeks, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, after Christmas, that's when you really start to see a lot of things shape up. Some people would say that's after Thanksgiving, really. But it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see what happens, what moves they do make. But obviously, something needs to be done, and it points back to a guy like Jaylen Brown, who just has been putrid on the defensive end and been inconsistent all season long. And I like your theory, getting to Kendrick Perkins. I just worry about Rajon Rondo because
that was more of just a hot take than anything.
No, I get
it. Allocate, but you know, they need a bully.
I get what you mean. He's like the Jonathan Papelbon of the NBA, in my opinion. And I'll be honest,
a very good comparison. Back
when Papelbon got in that riff with Bryce Harper and they were looking to trade him, I wanted the Red Sox to get him because that was when the Sox were kind of losing. They didn't have any attitude.
That was before David Price had balls.
Yes. So I think. I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but he's already been with Brad Stevens, and I think that a lot could go wrong. And you have a core like
this. That was more of a type of player than an actual player. I will say this. I'm just looking at the coaching staff. I don't know the Celtics assistant coaches too well because I'm looking. Maybe there's an assistant that can be that bad guy. And there is who's not here is Walter McCarty.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the first time under Brad that Walter hasn't been here. And I wonder if Walter was that guy, because I've met Walter a few times. I could see him being that. Not that he's a bad person. He's actually a very, very nice individual. He's one of the nicest ex-athletes I've ever met. Mm-hmm. But he could be an intense guy. And I wonder if that's what they're missing.
And this is another baseball comparison. That's usually where I go. But you have special assistants with the Red Sox. You have Jason Varitek in the dugout at home games. You have Pedro Martinez coming in and trying to give Eduardo Rodriguez some help to no avail. But why can't you bring in Kevin Garnett or Paul Pierce to help this team at home? And I realize they're probably living in L.A. It's probably quite a commute. But give them a nice stipend. Pay them as assistant coaches. Have them come in and try to kick this team in the ass. They clearly need it. I'm curious to see where this ends up and what they end up doing. Cause I think at this point a move is inevitable.
All right. We are way over on the sports talk, but that is all good. There's one thing I want to wrap it up with. There's an interesting bracket going around Twitter right now. We'll discuss it on the other side. That's all I'll say. This is Calling It, powered by CLNS.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
All right, welcome back to Calling It, powered by CLNS. Alex Barth and Alex Lebowitz with you here. Advertising's big this time of year. Naturally, you know, it's Christmas season, so there's a lot of the famous spokesmen are kind of hitting their stride. So I actually saw this on Twitter. I saw it a couple weeks ago, and I'd forgotten about it, and I saw the update came out yesterday. It's Twitter user Grit Romney, great name, at HSP_12 on Twitter, and we'll share this on our page. I call it a podcast. He made a bracket of the best – promotional individual spokesman.
I call it. I don't know what the term he used, but I'd say it's. It is mascots for mascots, advertising mascots.
So, for instance, 64 slot bracket, the one seeds: Tony the Tiger, the Kool-Aid Man, the General, and the Fox Football Robot.
Puke.
Yeah, not puke. So. The reason I want to talk about it is. It is seated horribly. I mean, there are numerous atrocities in here. First and foremost, Billy Mays is a sixth seed. No respect. No respect for the godfather of the industry. The godfather. He had a show called Spokesman or whatever it was. Billy Mays was a legend. Now, he's gotten to the Elite Eight as a sixth seed. He is up against the General. He should win that matchup handily. The General's not great. Shaq carries the General like he carried Kobe to multiple rings. Okay? Billy Mays should have been one seed, but he has rolled through the Pringles guy, Colonel Sanders, which is actually a good matchup. Colonel Sanders is a three seed, about right. Pillsbury Doughboy, though, was a 14 up against Colonel Sanders, and then Billy Mays just beat Captain Morgan. That was the biggest. There's a couple, and we'll kind of go through it, but Levitz, I don't know if there's any that stood out to you.
I think the Fox Football Robot being a one seed is atrocious.
It's a little high.
I think this is my least favorite. I was going to say favorite. This is my least favorite. Subway Jared, a five seed.
Yeah, that
shouldn't he be disqualified? I think if you know,
I will say he was smart to put Subway Jared far away from the Gerber baby because that would have been an awkward matchup.
Oh, jeez, and I thought my Adolph Clauseline was bad.
The Gerber baby was a 16 seed. He's on here. Lost to Tony the Tiger. I think the Gerber baby could have been a little higher.
The Hamburglar being ranked higher than Ronald McDonald.
In the same bracket, mind you.
Which is it's disgusting. It just shows this guy has no respect for the process.
Ronald McDonald, Tony the Tiger should not be a second round matchup. The Hamburglar was a three. Ronald McDonald was an eight.
And the way people voted on this, too, the Old Spice guy getting beat by Jake from State Farm. Jake from State Farm is the most boring spokesperson. He's not even a spokesperson. He's
oh,
the
got
guy
beat
who
by Jake
phone.
From State Farm. Okay, no, that should have been the Old Spice guy.
Yeah, the Old Spice guy's hilarious. He's great. He's one of the best people who advertises his respective product in the game today. The Allstate man. Okay, first of all, show some respect. The guy who plays the Allstate man was also Pedro Serrano. And you got to name him at least.
Also, he's not the All-State man. He's Mayhem. Oh, they do have it as Mayhem here.
I'm thinking of the guy who is always in the accidents, who causes.
Yeah,
that
that's
guy's
Mayhem.
Actually great.
That's
okay,
Mayhem. He's a four seed. That's about right.
Yeah,
because he's good, but he's new. He's relatively new.
So, and where's the Flex Seal guy? I saw this boat in half. Is he on here?
I did not see him.
If that guy's not on here, this whole thing is BS.
Well, I mean, you have some that are just like the Men's Warehouse guy is a 7. Pillsbury Doughboy is a 14. The Land O'Lakes Pocahontas is a 10. I never think of the Land O'Lakes Pocahontas. That's not a mascot. That's just a drawing. Like, there's no woman dressed up like that, like in commercials for Land O'Lakes, is there?
I don't think so. She doesn't say anything. The Travelocity gnome is an 11 seed.
Right, I don't even think of the Travelocity gnome. The M&Ms is a 15 seed. The M&Ms are great. First of all, it's Billy West, who is one of the great voice actors of our generation. Does just about every voice in Futurama. That's two Futurama references in this show. Thank you very much. But the M&Ms having to go up against the Geico cavemen, there's numerous things wrong with that. First of all, M&Ms should not be 15. Second of all, the Geico cavemen have been retired for years. For years, the lizard was a much better spokesman for Geico, or the gecko was a much better spokesman for Geico than the cavemen ever were. The cavemen got their own TV show.
Nick Kroll. Nick Kroll
was
on
Kroll in that?
Yeah, he was.
You never watched it. I didn't watch.
I knew that given like interviews I heard after the fact. I like the cavemen. The cavemen were actually very funny. Those were good commercials. But again, the fact that the I Saw This Boat in Half guy is not on this list is a major injustice. I mean, that right there, I'm never going to get over that.
I mean, you just go through them. You got the Energizer Bunny is a 12. Monopoly Man is an 11.
Monopoly Man doesn't advertise anything. He's a character in
a
board game.
He's a mascot. I think it's like mascots. I'm okay with him being on here. He honestly does fit on here. But that was a tough bracket. You had the Aflac Duck. You had Gilbert F. and Gottfried as a 15 seed up against Smokey the Bear.
Where's the ShamWow guy?
What about the slap chop guy? That's the same guy, isn't it?
The slap chop?
Vince, right? Yeah.
I think so. The guy with buggy eyes, he kind of...
The guy who bit a prostitute.
Allegedly, yes.
Here's what, so I'm just, I mean, I'm just looking at this now because we obviously didn't comb it. I mean, Jeffrey the Giraffe is a 7 seed against Mrs. Butterworth at 10. Butterworth, she won. She should have been higher, but she won. Second of all, Jeffrey the Giraffe, one, couldn't keep his business open. Two, he spells Jeffrey with a G, like a douchebag.
That's a common way to spell Jeffrey.
G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y?
G-E-O-F-F. Yeah, Jeff Jenkins. Remember?
Why does that look so weird for me?
I you know what? Lately, I've heard a lot of people complain about that, but I've always known that to be a way to spell it. I think it's probably like an Irish thing.
I've seen Jeff like that. I think I've never seen Jeffrey like that.
Well, that's where it comes from, right?
I guess you're right.
So, okay, the Burger King, also, I'm just – the Pringles guy. Okay, that's not a bad one.
The Pringles guy's not much of it. Like, I don't think of the mascot when I think of the Pringles. But things like Mr. Peanut, an American classic, as a 16 seed against somebody as despicable as the General. Please.
And this is the issue with these lists. It's created by one
guy. The Chick-fil-A cows is a 9.
The Chick-fil-A what?
The Chick-fil-A cows were a 9 up against Flo as an 8. Flo sucks. I hate Flo. And Evan Lazar gave me a lot of crap for this the other day, but I just want to double down on it. Flo is so annoying. I'm so – give me the Travelocity – not Travelocity. What is she for? See, this is how bad she is. I can't even remember the name of the insurance company. Progressive. Give me the Progressive box voiced by Ed Helms, Jason Sudeikis. Who is it?
Probably Ed Helms.
No, Cyril Figgis from and the dad from Rick and Morty. Chris Parnell. Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
Give me Chris Parnell as the box all day overflow for a Progressive mascot.
Well, Flo, and this is another problem. What is the criteria? What are we talking here? Is it influence? Is it effectiveness of the campaign? Is it like what are we talking? That's the issue. So if it's my favorite mascots or my favorite spokespersons, whatever you want to say, Billy Mays is right up there. I'm an infomercial guy through and through. So Billy Mays, I saw this bone half guy. I'm going to continue giving them praise. Flo stinks. I hate her. But it's an effective marketing advertisement.
Fair.
And she's also someone, I think there's a story that she was like literally done. Like she was about to retire from acting. Then she got that job. And now
the actress herself has been through a lot. I'm not a fan of the character.
Yeah. So we'll, So
we might have to do an update when this finishes up. But let me ask you this. Okay, here we go. Elite 8. Tony the Tiger is a 1 seed versus the Geico Caveman is a 2 seed.
Let me get it. Tony the Tiger versus the Geico. I'll go the Caveman. I'm a big Caveman guy.
I think I'm going Tony. Tony is he's probably the top cereal mascot. I know the Trix Rabbit's up there. I know that
the Lucky Charms elves.
Lucky Charms. No. It's the leprechaun.
Leprechauns. Yeah, that's
You're
what
they're the Keebler elves, who should be on here, by the way, and are not.
The Smurfs. Yeah.
Smurfs don't have cereal, do they?
I think the Smurfs are like a runoff of the Keebler. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, the Smurfs is like a cartoon from the 60s.
Yeah, I get them all confused. They're all
right. I'm going people. Tony the Tiger over the Geico Caveman. Kool-Aid Man versus the Most Interesting Man in the World.
Most Interesting Man in the World.
That's a good matchup. That is a good matchup. I have to go Most Interesting Man in the World, but I mean, that's a slugfest.
The Most Interesting Man in the World is one of the best advertising campaigns I've seen, I think. So I'm going Most Interesting Man in the World for that one. So it's good. So right now I have the Caveman versus Most Interesting Man in the World.
Who do you have there? That's a tough one.
And that one, I'm going to go Most Interesting Man in the World. I think that, again, effective campaign. I like those commercials. They go back in time when he was younger. I think it's kind of cool. So I'll go right there. I got Most Interesting Man in the World in my finals.
See, the only thing holding me back is I'm not a huge Dos Equis guy. I don't think it's very good.
Yeah, I don't drink that beer, but I like the campaign. And I've never bought it. So like, there you go.
I bought it once because it was like sponsoring a boxing match I was watching. And I was like, this is okay. Subpar. On the other side, Fox Football Robot Jake from State Farm, 1 versus 7.
Is death an option?
I mean, that's where you look at who got knocked out in that bracket, and this was a strong bracket. You had the Microsoft Paperclip, Chef Boyardee, Captain Crunch is a 12 seed, which was awful. You had – who else was in this one? Snap, Crackle, and Pop, the Old Spice guy, Papa John. Papa John's a 10 seed probably. Papa John and Jared from Subway should have been the matchup. If we're being honest.
I think we can agree one is worse than the other.
Yeah.
So right here, if I'm looking at the bracket at a whole – as a whole, I'm a big 3 seed guy. I like the Old Spice guy, and I like Mayhem.
I probably would have gotten Old Spice.
Old Spice or Mayhem are my top two. If we're talking about this matchup.
But you got to pick Fox Robot or Jake from State Farm.
They're both so bad.
He's a guy, so.
I'll go Fox. Good one. I'll go Fox Football Robot because Jake from State Farm is the most overrated commercial of all time. And yeah. The reason I hate it so much is because I know multiple Jakes. My brother's not included because he's actually original. Shots fired at Jake Asman and Jake Goldberg. No, Chernock would not. I don't think Chernock ever did this costume. But they would if they didn't have a Halloween costume idea.
Oh yeah,
they'd wear a red polo with a name tag on it.
Well, that commercial came out right before Halloween, and everybody was Jake from State Farm that
last. It's
that
the worst. It's like such a stupid commercial. I never understood why it caught on. I'll go Fox Football Robot now.
I'll go Fox Football Robot too because if I see him, it means I'm watching football, so I'm in a good mood. The General and Billy Mays. I think you know where I'm going on this.
I think we both are going in the same direction.
And I got Billy Mays as the champion.
The fact that the general is a one seed is disgusting, in my opinion.
Again, if he gets that title, it's because Shaq carried him just like Kobe.
The best matchup in this bracket is Colonel Sanders and Billy Mays. It was a 3 versus 6 seed. I like that matchup. Billy Mays, I think, deserves to come out of this on top.
I think the Colonel could have been one, honestly.
The Colonel could have been a one seed, and Billy Mays should have been probably a top
Billy
4
Mays
should seed.
Have been the one seed.
I don't know about that.
Is the pitch man.
So I think we both have, at least I have the Dos Equis man, the most interesting man in the world, and Billy Mays in my finals. Billy Mays obviously being Fox Football Robot.
Yeah, then, I think Billy Mays is the guy. I mean, come on. We got OxyClean. We got Mighty Putty. We got Flex Seal at the very end there. He was the original Flex
Chipotle
Seal.
Chipotle away.
Chipotle away, yes, a great South Park episode.
But that matchup right there, most interesting man in the world, and Billy Mays, that's a slugfest. Or maybe not a slugfest, but that's coming down to the wire.
Yeah,
that's a game that's going to be within 3 points.
Well, here's the thing: Billy Mays is battle tested at that point because you look who he's gotten through. You look at who he's had to beat: the Pringles guy, Colonel Sanders, Captain Morgan. I mean, could you have three tougher matchups? That's like going through Kentucky, Duke, and Gonzaga in the tournament.
And just to compare, most interesting man in the world, he's going against Apple Jacks, Chester Cheetah. Chester the Cheetah is a good one. That probably should have been way higher up. And then beating the Clydesdales, which is a decent matchup.
And the Clydesdales have some nostalgia factor.
Of course, and the Kool-Aid Man. So he's battle-tested, too. Those are some decent matchups.
And, I mean, he's beating people who beat – that was a tough bracket. You also have Wendy's and the Monopoly Man down there.
That is a tough one. So I this one's a toss-up. It really is. I don't know who to go with for this one. I'm a big Billy Mays guy. I'm a big Dos Equis guy. You know what? I'm gonna go the Dos Equis guy. I think he's going to I think he's going to perform, you know, better under pressure. I think he's going to be someone who kind of shows up and doesn't let his emotions get the best of him. Billy Mays, he strikes me as a guy who can crumble, someone who could freak out when the going gets tough. He's always high energy, but if you throw something at him that he's not prepared for, I don't know if he's making that adjustment. Dos Equis, man, winning this bracket as a 3 seed, but that is not to take away from Billy Mays' effort.
All right, well, there you go. We'll again, we'll tweet that bracket out so people can see it. It'll be on our Twitter page at Calling the Podcast. We will be back next week. I think we're actually going to do a Christmas Day. So if you need to sneak away from your family for an hour, we'll have a show up at some point, probably early in the day.
Or if you are Jewish, like myself and Alex.
still might need to sneak away from the family. I still might need to sneak away from the family.
And that's true.
Although I know they listen to shows, so I, you know, it's all in good fun. We will be doing next week... are of the years. So last year we did like best game of the year, best athlete of the year, all that. So we'll have that for you next week. You can find that on our Twitter at Calling the Podcast and online at cmnsmedia.com. Obviously a lot of interesting Patriots talk. We'll more or less know what their situation is for the playoffs at that point. More Celtics, maybe some Bruins as well. So for Alex Lebowitz, I'm Alex Barth. Thank you for listening and we'll talk to you on Christmas. Bye.